The presidential race is no longer shadowboxing. It's centre stage. Fianna Fáil's ready to launch, Fine Gael's rallying around Heather Humphreys, and Mary Lou McDonald's dramatic exit has left independents eyeing their chance. All the twists, all the manoeuvres, coming up. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. And if last week saw would-be presidents and pretenders fall like ninepins, this is the week where I think things are going to get a little more serious. Later today, Fianna Fáil will launch their candidate into the race for the Aras. Fine Gael's Heather Humphreys is lapping up all of the love from the Fine Gaelers down at their shindig in Mullingar. And Mary Lou McDonald bowed out of the race yesterday. And there's still no Sinn Féin candidate in sight. Independent Catherine Connolly will be hoping for her party's support. Meanwhile, the carnival that is the County Council nomination process got underway in the Kingdom yesterday, where a veritable football team and a wheelbarrow turned up to woo councillors in Tralee. News Talk's political correspondent, Sean Defoe. You're literally living your best life at the moment, aren't you, Sean?
My head's spinning, actually, just thinking of all the different webs you've been stringing out there. It's I don't know if a general election is like Christmas. What's this, Easter? And particularly good Easter when you have lots of eggs, but some of them might melt before you actually get to eat them. I think that's probably the weirdest analogy I can pull out for this one. It's good stuff. It's great stuff.
So if we had been talking like 72 hours ago, I would have been talking about Joanna Donnelly and her very, very short-lived campaign, Michael Flatley bowing out. We can, of course, talk about Bertie Ahern and his decision to not seek a nomination from Fianna Fáil, one that doesn't seem to have been forthcoming anyhow, and that audio message where he put forward his thoughts and his reasons for his decision. But look, they're last week's news, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all gone by the wayside. Bertie blaming everybody but himself. And there was actually a video doing the rounds on TikTok over the weekend where he was at the match. He was at the Ireland match and someone came over and was like, "Why aren't you running for president?" And he just said, "Micheál Martin. That's why I'm not running. Micheál stopped me." So, but also trying to like completely gaslight the country and rewrite history. "Oh, I had nothing to do with the economic crash. The Mahon Tribunal, she wasn't that a load of nonsense." Just a very strange one from Bertie Ahern, where the man couldn't really accept any responsibility for the fact that he wasn't wanted within Fianna Fáil. Joanna Donnelly, highly strange. It seemed like she got a rush of blood to the head, decided to run for president and no one advised her against it. And then when she cooled off after the weekend, somebody actually sat her down and said, "Maybe this isn't a very good idea." And in fairness, she was quite gracious in admitting, "I'm in above my head here." Flatley, probably one of these lists of names, along with Geldof, who was very happy to be mentioned, but was never going to be an absolute runner. So we're at the filtering process, really, of here are, you know, they were all potential runners who might actually have gotten onto the ballot. This week, starting with all the county councils, we have a mix of some people who put quite a lot of effort into a potential campaign, some nutters, some no-hopers, just a sort of a basket of different people. They're all going to be put through the filter as well. And at the end of it, looks like we could have the smallest field for the presidency for certainly quite a while. So we're just weeding out the ones who aren't actually going to make it onto the ballot.
Oh, are we weeding out the fun? That's my big problem here. Do you know what I mean? If we end up with Catherine Connolly, Heather Humphreys, Jim Gavin, plus another, it's going to be very serious, isn't it? I mean, it should be serious. Don't get me wrong. But we get so enthused by the colour of this campaign.
Well, it's all good for you. And I heard Pat Kenny giving out about this as well. It's all well and good for you in the studio. It doesn't have to chase seven candidates around the country for a month to say that. But no, look, Jim Gavin hardly ever lit up the screen when he was Dublin manager. Heather Humphreys she's not the strongest media performer, nor is Catherine Connolly. Like, we could actually have some very boring debates. I was hoping Mary Lou McDonald would spice it up. That's not going to happen. So it's a fascinating campaign setting up from a political anorak point of view, because they're all really close in terms of support and it's really hard to call it. But for the general public watching, yeah, you could see why you might be bored.
Now, we have been talking about this since June. I think it was one of our very first News Talk dailies that we recorded. So it's like 3 months later. And it is interesting to think that at this point, there is no clear front runner.
None. And if you look at the polling over the weekend, it just showed how tight it was between Heather Humphreys, Catherine Connolly and Jim Gavin. And I think Humphreys had a very slight lead. It was a 21% to her, 20 for Gavin, and either 20 or 19 for Catherine Connolly in that Sindo poll. The big figure was 39% undecided or don't know, just haven't engaged at all, which is a massive swing point. If you had put Mary Lou McDonald in there, I would have had her probably in around a similar support, and the poll had them all bunched together. So it's interesting, and you could read it a number of different ways. One, that this presidency is absolutely wide open, for any of the candidates, you can kind of talk yourself into it. I mean, Heather Humphreys would be happy enough. She's leading the pack at 21%. Catherine Connolly, relatively obscure independent TD up until now, and yet is right in the frame and has the backing of quite a few left-wing TDs. And Jim Gavin, who hasn't spoken a single word to the media or launched any sort of a national campaign of his own beyond what Micheál Martin and a few others have been saying about him, is right there in the mix, despite nobody knowing why he actually wants the presidency or what any of his political views are. So it's fascinatingly tight at the top. It's one of those ones where the campaign is actually going to be incredibly important, because one moment of a slip up in a debate or one particularly good media performance could be enough to tilt you into contention.
I mean, there was some speculation about Mary Lou McDonald. I think she did take it seriously for a short period of time, but she broke cover yesterday and announced that she wouldn't swap her role as president of Sinn Féin for Uachtaráin na hÉireann. Let's just have a quick listen to what she said to Shane Coleman on News Talk Breakfast yesterday.
So I took time to think about it. Lots of people over the last number of weeks have spoken to me about the options and what to do. But ultimately, the reality is that my job remains to take on this government, lead Sinn Féin, lead the opposition, work with my Sinn Féin colleagues, but also colleagues beyond Sinn Féin, not alone to hold Micheál Martin and Simon Harris to account, to keep their feet to the flames for all of their many, many failings, but also when the next general election comes around, to present to the Irish electorate a real sense of an alternative government.
In the end, why do you think she ruled herself out? Because I do think she could have been a real contender in here.
I think she could have won it. I had always said I thought she could. She's one of these characters and one of the few people Sinn Féin have who would bring in voters who would otherwise never vote for the party, and is a very popular figure. But it would be a huge decision. And in her interview with Shane and some of the other comments that she made yesterday, she said that it was about getting Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil out of office, and that ultimately that is what she wants to do, and that she wants to be Taoiseach and to lead a government, and she couldn't do that from the aura. So look, there's lots of factors that probably went into the decision in the end. I do genuinely think that is what she wants to do rather than to hold the presidency. But it's a massive call, because I don't think Sinn Féin can win the presidency outright now with any other candidate. I just don't think that person is there. They're not going to move Michelle O'Neill, in my opinion, from the role as Northern Ireland First Minister, and they've no one else that has the cachet to get there. So it is sort of an accepting a defeat, and it will be interesting to see what they do next as a result.
Yeah, I wasn't convinced when I listened to her interviews yesterday that they are going to run a candidate. Were you? And that they won't just row in behind Catherine Connolly. Now, I listened to other commentators yesterday saying it's not clear, you wouldn't be sure. But the way she spoke about Catherine Connolly on the radio yesterday, I thought, there is a possibility now you are going to run in behind her, because you don't have another candidate. And it's a hell of a lot of money to perform quite poorly, which is what you've done in the past, and it hasn't served your party very well.
I ultimately think I agree with you. But talking to Sinn Féin, I mean, sure, they tell you nothing about nothing. You know, like they will tell you to your face they don't know, or they're not giving you your opinion. They're one of the few TDs. They don't even tell you the time of their parliamentary party meetings, when Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are leaking every second of those meetings that happen. So it is hard to get a read on where the opinion is. The things I took from it, one, that Mary Lou McDonald said that the term of the next president, she believes, is going to be a term, whether that's in 7 or 14 years, that we see a referendum on Irish unity, and that it's very important for a united Irelander to be in that office. Now, that would have suggested to me that they were thinking of running their own candidate to get their own message out there, and that if Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have somebody on the ballot, Sinn Féin, as the other big party, needs to have someone there. The reason I ultimately took from it that I think they will end up rowing in behind Catherine Connolly was, one, she has been talking up her United Ireland credentials, but also stressing that if she is staying in the Dáil because she wants to get Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil out of political office there. If Sinn Féin's ultimate goal is getting Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil out of presidential office, the best chance to do that is to back Catherine Connolly and to have a united candidate of the left. And where Connolly has struggled so far is in the organisation side of things, is with, you know, getting together at press statements and press events and a campaign that is really coherent and has a mass scale. And that is what Sinn Féin could provide because they are brilliant at that. And also the fact that you would only have 5 weeks, really less than 5 weeks of a campaign after they announce on the 20th of September. That's quite hard for, say, a Rose Conway Walsh or an Angus O'Snoddy or whoever to run a national campaign. But if you're sort of turbocharging Catherine Connolly's existing campaign by backing her at that point, that could actually catapult her into real contention.
And it's actually what her campaign really needs. And it's a good time for her campaign to suddenly get a fresh thrust of energy, isn't it?
It's been a little bit amateurish. It's been a little bit, you know, People for Profit and they've been the main organisers at the moment. Even the Sock Dems and Labour have been more hands off. Obviously, Labour have their own internal issues about Catherine Connolly. So bringing in a political entity like Sinn Féin, the money that they would contribute, a lot less than running their own candidate, but still very significant. Having heavy hitters like Mary Lou McDonald and Pierce Doherty out on local radio and national media backing your campaign. Like that's a shot of adrenaline in the arm. For the candidate who's been in the field the longest, who's been under the most scrutiny so far and has done okay, I wouldn't say there's anything that's been a fatal flaw, but also has she really made a coherent case to the nation as to why she should be president? No.
She will be breathing a sigh of relief that Mary Lou has removed herself from consideration. But somebody else who might be breathing a bit of a sigh of relief is Jim Gavin and the Fianna Fáil camp, because Mary Lou would certainly have gone after some of those Dublin votes.
Yeah, that would have been a real damage to the engine of his support, which is in Dublin. And we know that from some of the polling at the weekend. Dublin men, sort of GAA circles, that's where he's doing well. Not so well among women and among the regions, particularly in the likes of Connacht, Ulster, where Heather Humphreys would be quite strong. So I think not having Mary Lou McDonald is good for him. We'll obviously see where Sinn Féin lands overall. But of course, he has to win it, Ciara. He has to win the Fianna Fáil nomination.
I was just about to say, we're speaking like he has won it, but all the indications are that when himself and Billy Kelleher address the Fianna Fáil party later this morning, I think it's about 11:30, and they go into that secret ballot, that he is going to win it. Where are the numbers at this point, Sean, in terms of those who have declared their support for him and those who remain undeclared?
So Jim Gavin has about 30 publicly declared backers, much fewer for Billy Kelleher. It's a little bit over five, or sort of in that region of public declarations last I checked. So there's a gulf there, but there's about 35, 36 who haven't declared at all. They haven't said anything publicly one way or the other. The magic number here is 35, because by the time the chair rules himself out of the vote, that's what you need to get a majority within the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party. So the Kelleher camp is very much trying to say, look, this is a secret ballot. We think some of the people who've publicly declared for Jim Gavin won't vote for Jim Gavin, and there's plenty of others in the field. I'm a true Fianna Fáiler. I still don't think it's going to decide it. I think it will be Jim Gavin, but Billy Kelleher will pull every trick out of the book in order to try and swing votes his way.
Yeah, and if there, you know, if Billy Kelleher does do well in that vote later today, does it create a bit of a schism within the Fianna Fáil party?
There will be. It all depends on what the number is. I mean, anything I think really north of 25 votes for, 25 votes. I could well see Billy Kelleher getting 20 votes. He's a popular guy. He's in the parliamentary party for a long time. He's very well respected. Like, I could see him getting to 20. When you get above that, I think that's when you start to wonder, is this a little bit of a problem long term for Micheál Martin, especially if Jim Gavin loses? If he wins, like, winning means you never have to say you're sorry. And if he wins, fine, everyone will absolutely forget about it. The same way they forgot about Mary McAleese back in 1997. It all depends how he does. If Jim Gavin does respectably well or wins it, I think this will be forgotten pretty quickly. But if he doesn't, then yeah, you do have to question Micheál Martin's judgment.
And there does seem to be rumblings, doesn't there, from backbench TDs within Fianna Fáil that they are now being referred to as Micheál's mushrooms. I think I saw that in some newspaper article, which didn't give me a laugh, that they're basically performing and growing in the dark here, that Micheál Martin has gone out on his own. It is basically a diktat. This is the candidate I have picked and you better all roll in behind it.
Yeah, I do kind of think it's a minority voice in Fianna Fáil though, and it's largely in the Billy Kelleher camp, who are a large voice. But, you know, less of a, I don't think there's any threat to Micheál Martin's leadership, for example. He's brought an awful lot of people in. He's just brought them from, you kind of can forget very easily that 13 years ago, Fianna Fáil, at the time of the last presidential election that was a proper contest, I don't really count 2018 because we knew Michael T. Higgins would win it comfortably enough. Like, Fianna Fáil didn't field a candidate because even association with them was so toxic. There was questions about whether the party had any sort of a future. And now Micheál Martin is into his second term as Taoiseach, and they comfortably won the election last year and are the largest party at Dáil, Seanad and local level.
Eating bread, PDs, soon forgotten, Sean.
Lots of PDs who owe it to Micheál Martin, though, you know. So, look, yes, there is a loud minority, but look, it depends. Micheál's Mushrooms hasn't really caught on, bar one particular newspaper and one particular columnist.
What is the thinking now, Sean Defoe? What is the strategy, I suppose, behind keeping Jim Gavin away from the media? Like, is it not time that we heard from him, that we saw the whites of his eyes a little bit?
So the strategy is probably twofold. One, he's not the candidate yet, and we're not the people he has to impress. He has to impress the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party at the moment. And that's where his entire focus has been, meeting them and trying to corral their votes to his side.
Which he has been doing, travelling around the country, meeting Fianna Fáil.
Travelling around the country, meeting them in groups, meeting them separately, trying to get all of them on side. And all of the questions that we want to ask him, these TDs have been asking Jim Gavin, and lots of them have said to me that when they have, they've been satisfied with the answers. We hope to get them as the media and the general public relatively soon. But also, like, I'm really, really interested to see later if it is Jim Gavin, and if we do, you know, we should get to interview him and speak to him and hear his views. Like, he hardly knocked it out of the park when he was a Dublin manager in terms of the media. He was able to be ambivalent because the Dubs were so good on the pitch. He didn't need to say anything to the media. The talking was done there and the footballers did it. And there's no doubt he's one of the greatest managers in the history of the GAA. That's all well and good. You now need to convince the country that you're the right man for the job if you are the candidate, not just a team of 15 initially and whatever the subs are, right? You need to go out and actively make the case that you should hold one of the biggest offices in the land and be basically the ambassador in chief for Ireland.
First citizen of the country. It's a huge role, and it's a role we take really, really seriously in Ireland.
It is. And even though it doesn't have, you know, executive power, you still have an awful lot of influence, and it's something that we rightly should be very picky about who we pick in that, put into that office. So if he just does a series of interviews where he's not really giving anything of himself and he's kind of a bit ambivalent and a bit nose in the air about the media, I don't think he's going to win. I think he will ultimately lose this election. So that is very different from a man who, to look at his career, Dublin manager, in the army before that, very, you know, militaristic, top-down sort of a thing. Citizens Assembly, same thing, chaired the whole floor and was top-down approach. You now can't really be that. You have to go and sell Jim Gavin in a way he's never had to do before. And I did a really interesting podcast, actually, with our GAA correspondent, Tommy Rooney. It's available on the Let Me Explain feed if people want to have a listen to it, who spent an awful lot of time around Jim Gavin when this GAA Rules Committee was going on. And he had a great insight into how he worked, and that actually, far from being that dictator in the dressing room, with this, with something that was quite controversial at the time, he brought people along with him and never really put anything to a vote because he was able to carry a room of very strong opinions with him all the time. And if he can show that side of Jim Gavin and bring that to a national forum and to politics, he has every chance of winning. If he can't, he could be in trouble.
Yeah, and I was speaking to somebody yesterday who knew him through the GAA circles and said he was an incredible operator, actually, and that maybe the public didn't hear from him, but if you did get the opportunity to hear from him or work from him, he was extremely impressive and he did bring people with him. Now, you are down at the Fine Gael Thinking. How are they feeling now about Heather Humphreys? I'm sure they were delighted that she was in the lead in that Sunday Independent Ireland Thinks poll, but it was just by one point, as you mentioned. I mean, there's been a couple of controversies, questions around her attitudes to disability payments. An extremely strong interview by Tom Clonan, I heard, extremely critical of her and her attitude towards disability payments on radio last week. There was a piece in the papers over the weekend about an animal cruelty case and whether or not her department had made representations about that particular case. Are they concerned about that, or have they been able to deal with those pretty well?
Look, I think they've dealt with them as well as you could reasonably do. And Fine Gael were quite paranoid about stories coming out, and when they had to move from Mairead McGuinness to Heather Humphreys, they were going back, from what I heard, through every, you know, parking ticket she may have got, every tiny potential controversy back for the last 30 years of her career. So they're not massively concerned about this, and they seem to have answers. These are stories that had been out, of course, in the past and have been dragged up. They're not necessarily new to the media scrutiny, but just putting through a new light of her running for the presidency. So generally, there is a pretty positive mood around the hopes of Heather Humphreys. I mean, there is a little bit of trepidation about Jim Gavin's candidacy and what that will mean. He's just so much more of a celebrity factor. And obviously the Dublin thing, with Dublin being the driver really of a lot of campaigns, makes them a little bit nervous. But given
she was weak in the polling at the weekend when it came to the Dublin region.
She was. She was the worst performing candidate in Dublin, obviously better performing in the regions and better performing with older people as well. And then I think Catherine Connolly seemed to have a bit of an edge when it came to women and younger people. That was where she was ploughing her furrow. So, yeah, when it comes to Heather Humphreys, look, they think when people get out and meet her, the ploughing championships, all those different kind of events, like, that's where Heather Humphreys shines. She's a great person-to-person politician and communicator, and she has a word for people and people remember her. And she has a likability that Mairead McGuinness and that actually very few politicians have. People like her, and I've actually heard quite a few people outside of politics saying to me they probably wouldn't have voted for Mairead McGuinness and they would vote for Heather Humphreys. Of the three that we know or think we know are in the field, I think she's probably the most personally likable. Where they are concerned about is about the media performances. She was catastrophic, I suppose, when she initially started after being appointed to cabinet in 2014 when it came to the media, and probably had a bit of a fear of the media, and gradually improved that over the time in cabinet to where she was very competent and didn't give much away in interviews. But she's not a stellar media or debate performer, and that is where they are slightly worried. So they do think she can pick up a lot of that floating voter, a lot of number twos as well, which will obviously be particularly important in the proportional representative system that we have. She's not as much of a slam dunk as they thought Mairead McGuinness was, but certainly they think this is probably their best chance of winning the presidency since Tom O'Higgins.
Let's look now at the county councils, right? And they obviously can have a role here in that if you get four of them, they can nominate somebody for president. They can put a name on the ballot. And that has happened with some success, I would have thought, in the last few presidential elections. At least 20 of the 31 councils have said that they are going to hold nomination hearings. And we saw the first major one in Kerry yesterday. I mean, what was so interesting from that, I think, Sean, was the lack of effort from those looking to get the nomination from the council to get those councillors to come out and support them. Other than Gareth Sheridan, and I think maybe a little bit from Maria Steen, there doesn't seem to have been any huge effort to try and get their support.
I'd count Nick Delahanty in there as well, to be fair to him. He had been down in Kerry last week trying to canvass them and get a little bit of support. Others are just showing up and hoping for the best and haven't done a huge amount. And Kerry had the lowest bar, really, for getting to speak. Other councils were requiring proposers and seconders, even just to speak, to address them. Others looking for the support of the likes of four councillors before they even could get in the room. So it's a low bar. Wexford also met yesterday. And look, we'll find out, we'll find out what Kerry is going to do on the 15th. They're delaying that vote. It's going to look like a bit like a Super Monday, to be honest, because there's a number of different councils meeting across the country that could back someone or another.
Right, let's have a listen to some of the pitches and the reaction to them from that meeting of Kerry County Council yesterday.
My dad was living 5 miles from Béal na Bláth. One of my last memories of my father as a fit man was lying down on the road, oversight of Béal na Bláth, and a couple of stones that he pointed out to me where the riflemen put their rifles on the day.
I don't know how serious it can be taken when people are looking to seek the top office in this country. When we'll say out of 20 that looked for the nomination, only two contacted me over the last number of weeks.
My name is Nick Delahanty. I'm seeking your nomination to run for presidency of Ireland. I'm 35 years old. I gave up a career in corporate law to enter public life.
On will go get lethal got on will she tovatot cone all mar utron near.
Tog will go gum, Neil Moran will go gum, Laurian on Tanga son Kushta Europa, led the help of several people.
I honestly believe that the path to a solution here is unlocked only through a collective approach.
bridging the division we've seen become so prominent in recent years and focusing less on the politics of left, right and up and down and just a collective focus on forward now.
I felt compelled to do so, to speak out against the NGO and media-driven consensus that seems to afflict so much of our politics and which was rejected by the people in the 2024 referenda in which I called for a no-no vote.
What would you feel about me if I don't vote for you? Thank you.
On average, since 1997, there's been three candidates to come through the council route at each election. That's definitely going to be lower this time. I'm not entirely confident even saying there will be one, but they're going to give it a go. After Fine Gael ruled themselves out, said they'd vote against any candidate, they estimate there's maybe 15 in play. Sinn Féin aren't going to whip people. Fianna Fáil haven't really said anything, but obviously they have their candidate as of today. So it's going to be really interesting. But the one thing, the one big difference in now and say previous times was that when you had people looking for the council route, they were usually of more note and more fame or acclaim. So if you look at someone like Dana, for example, Eurovision winner, Joan Freeman, founder of Pieta House, very well known, very well respected. None of these really have that level of cachet and they're sort of relying on just people wanting a different voice in the campaign. And I'm not sure that's a very compelling message.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Sean Defoe, thanks for your time.
Thanks so much.
Well, that's it for today's News Talk Daily. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition. Until then, from me, Ciara Doherty, have a great day.